And welcome into Predators Tonight here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porth here alongside Robbie Stanley of NHL.com and Thomas Willis of NashvillePredators.com, taking you through all the expansion draft news and notes and this abomination of coverage that NBC and the NHL have bestowed upon us. They are limping through what is this awards slash expansion draft show that has just been, well, I'll just say it hasn't been good. So the Nashville Predators are about to learn their fate of which player they're going to lose to the Vegas Golden Knights in the expansion draft. And I bring in Robbie Stanley right now. And Robbie, I think we all expect it is going to be James Neal at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's been the rumor for the past few days that the Predators are going to lose James Neal in the expansion draft. And obviously there are varying opinions going throughout the Twitterverse as to what the reaction to that should be. I don't think it's necessarily all that surprising when you just take a look at the way the season ended. And I think one of the main things that not very many people are talking about is you don't know what the future is going to look like as far as Mike Fisher is concerned. So when that's the case, if you lose another center iceman at that point, you're in deep, deep trouble heading into next year, having only two centermen that you feel pretty comfortable with out of the four that are available to you. So we think it's going to be James Neal. We don't know that for sure yet. That should be announced here in the next few minutes. But certainly a big loss for the Predators if it is James Neal. That's a big hole they're going to have to find a way to fill at the winger position, because as we know, you can never have enough scoring, and that was a big topic of conversation once Johansson went out of the lineup in the playoffs, is where are you going to get these goals from? James Neal was a guy that we know battled through injury in the playoffs, played with a broken hand. The loss of him in the lineup, if it is him that goes, that's going to be a big hole that David Poile and the Predators are going to have to fill.
Absolutely, and they're about five picks away from getting to the Preds. Vegas just made their 10th selection of the expansion draft. Connor Brickley of the Carolina Hurricanes. It looks like the Winnipeg Jets are up next to learn their fate. I bring in Thomas Willis. You know, Robbie was just talking about how big of a loss it could be with James Neal. What some people, from what I can gain on Twitter, what they don't really realize is how much depth this organization truly has. And while losing a 20 to 30 goal scorer like James Neal can hurt, they have the pieces in place already to help soften the blow, and then this would create more cap space to go get more help.
I think if the 2017 playoffs go differently, you maybe don't see Neal even exposed in this, but you see Colton Sisson step up. You see Pontus Aubrey finally perhaps materialize into an NHL player. Remember the fact that he really wasn't up with the Preds during the regular season, has only played 15 games. Pierre Laviolette has said in the postseason press conferences that he was just going to be there as an option, a speedy guy. They knew they wanted him to be up with the team, but they didn't necessarily know what he was going to deliver. You see him step in, specifically the big game winner in Game 5 of the conference final. Maybe that gives you the freedom to be able to even expose James Neal in the first place, and it looks like we'll find out in a few minutes whether they lose him one way or the other.
Right, and you know, Kevin Fiala,
sure,
I think is a big name in this discussion.
Probably the biggest name, honestly.
Probably.
If you're making the top six right now, you're putting in Fiala over Neal, if that's what happens.
Absolutely, yeah. And his potential, his ceiling,
yeah,
is probably the highest of those people that would be replacing that goal total.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And you know, he's obviously coming off of a very tough injury, and it's going to be interesting to see how his body responds to that. All indications are from David Poile and the Predators organization that Kevin Fiala is very far ahead of schedule and far ahead of where they thought he would be at this point. So that's obviously very good news if you're a Predators fan. Started to really turn it on at the last month and a half of the regular season and into the playoffs. I thought he played extremely well against Chicago. Didn't get much to offer against St. Louis before he got hurt. But I think if he picks up where he left off in that Chicago series and is able to build on that, he's going to get a role, a top six role. He's going to make the team out of training camp next year. He has the potential offensively, as we all know, to really be a breakout player for this team next year. He finally started to figure out the other areas of the game, whether it's away from the puck in the defensive zone, whether it's where to be in the neutral zone. He started to figure all of that out. and turn into a really effective player for the Predators at the end of the year. So there's no question, I think Kevin Fiala, if they do lose James Neal, he's going to be a guy that's really counted upon next year, especially early on, to carry that offense on maybe the second line when you have that Jofa line to start with.
The expansion draft is inching closer to the Nashville Predators. The New York Islanders are now learning their fate. The pick before the Islanders was the Tampa Bay Lightning. And Thomas, you made a point before we went on the air, and now it's come to fruition with the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Vegas Golden Knights are getting Jason Garrison, a proven defenseman in this league, but they also had to give up more to keep some of their other young guys.
Exactly. The Lightning to the Vegas Golden Knights are sending a second-round pick, a fourth-round pick, and a Russian prospect. So, again, I think that's what we've learned that David Poile did not want to do for the Predators. He said, I talked to George McPhee, GM of Vegas, every day. The prices were really high. You have to remember that Vegas really holds all the cards in this situation. As you make your protection list, let me put it to you hypothetically this way. Even if you're McPhee and you don't want James Neal, you say that you do. You receive a pick and say, okay, fine, I won't get him. Well, then you've still got options like Colton Sissons, Pontus Aubrey. Now all of a sudden you're getting multiple benefits. That's what we just saw with Tampa Bay. They're still able to get a fair guy that probably will help them in the immediate future, and yet they're also getting the assets that they want to build going forward. So the second, fourth-round pick, that's pretty valuable.
Absolutely, and the New York Islanders just gave up a first-round pick, a second-round pick, and two players for the Vegas Golden Knights to select J.F. Berube, a goaltender. And, in fact, it is James Neal, as the Vegas Golden Knights have drafted James Neal in the expansion draft. James Neal this year scored 23 goals, had 18 assists, 41 points for the Preds, scored some big goals in the playoff run while having a broken wrist. And Robbie, we kind of talked about it just a few minutes ago as NBC now shows David Poile on their broadcast. James Neal, while they do have depth, it is a big loss for this team.
Look, all you have to do is look at the history of the Predators franchise and how many 25 goal scorers they've had. It's not very many. I mean, those guys don't grow on trees. So there's no question it's a big loss for this Predators team. Now, I think everybody has to stop from overreacting right now at this point, because this forces David Poile and the Predators to make a move in the next few months, whether it's via trade, whether it's via free agency. I think it's very unlikely that you're going to see the Predators just stand pat at this point and try to go with this younger lineup that they have. You were just two wins away from winning a Stanley Cup. You can't just sit here and not do anything after you've lost James Neal. So I don't expect this to be the last we talk about this process. Yes, losing James Neal is a big deal for this Predators team, and I'll be the first one to admit that. I think it's a guy that does a lot. He's a big power forward. He's a big body. Obviously a guy that scores a lot of goals, and that's going to be tough to replace in the lineup. But now I think this forces the Predators to make a move, whether it's in free agency or a trade, to make sure that they soften that blow as much as they possibly can.
And we would expect David Poile to be active, whether it be via trade or via free agency. You know, there are options out there. In free agency, there's not a slew of options. We were going through some of them before we went on the air, Robbie. I mean, TJ Oshie is the biggest name on the free agent market.
There's no question. He's the biggest name. And then really after that, the crop's not that great, to be honest with you. I mean, you take a look at some other veteran players that may get to free agency, and I guess probably the two biggest names to me that stand out are in San Jose, and that's kind of been the big talk over the last week or so, is are the Sharks going to let Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau get to free agency? And if they do, I think that's something, if you're the Predators, you have to take a look at maybe one of those guys, maybe both of those guys, if you can get them for the right price. But there's no question the free agent pool as a whole this year is not that great. You're really going to see, I think, prices, especially on July 1st, get driven up pretty high for guys that quite honestly probably are not worth the money that they're going to make. And traditionally, we've seen David Poile stay away from that on July 1st and not get sucked into overpaying guys that really don't deserve the contracts that they're getting. But having said that, when you lose a guy like James Neal and a guy like TJ Oshie is available, I think if you're the Predators, you at least have to take a look at that if he does get to free agency, if he gets out of Washington, because that's a guy who could come in, play on that second line, score 30 goals for you, and then all of a sudden you don't feel that bad about losing James Neal because you brought in a guy with equal amounts of talent that can score a lot of goals.
Like you said before, Robbie, when you look at free agency and David Poyle, David Poyle doesn't have a history of spending a lot of money on July 1st. I mean, the biggest contract I can remember, you know, Thomas, if you want to weigh in as well, the biggest contract I can remember is Matthew Lombardi on the first day of free agency.
Yeah, Jason Arnott as well was a pretty big signing at the time. I think what you have to remember is, again, if you're going positives, and now that we know this is official, you did just free up $5 million in cap space just like that when James Neal goes on to the Vegas Golden Knights. So with it rising, meaning the salary cap, $2 million more up to 75, there's definitely going to be room there. If you want to go ahead and forecast into the future, you have to expect Ryan Johansson gets about $7 million. Victor Arvidsson gets about $4.5 million. You're still going to be left with $10 to $15 million. And this is a team now that's only looking for one guy. You're not looking for two, three, or four guys. So all of a sudden, to Robbie's point, the TJ Oshie, the Joe Thornton, the Patrick Marleau, $6 to $7 million isn't the end of the world because you're still in this win now. You've got Pecorine for one or two more years, and you're still feeling a little bit of the pressure with the youthful core that we've talked about now having to step up. If you add that additional pick, all of a sudden, you're back to being a dynamic roster just like that. And like we said, I mean, Oshie for Neal, if that in any way could happen, that's probably an upgrade, honestly.
Absolutely. Well, after the break, we'll get into all the options the Preds have to replace the loss of James Neal. In-house, free agency trades, what have you. That is all next on Predators Tonight on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Predators Tonight here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porth here alongside Robbie Stanley of NHL.com and Thomas Willis of NashvillePredators.com. And the Vegas Golden Knights have just selected James Neal in the expansion draft, meaning one of the core pieces of this Preds team over the last 3 years is now going to Sin City. And before we get to options into how David Poyle can replace James Neal, Thomas, your compadre, Brooks Bratton, has spoken with David Poyle out in Las Vegas.
Yeah, Brooks Bratton, and this is on the site, nationalprayers.com, if you'd like to read it in full video, it'll be up in actually a few minutes, but was able to talk to David before this move and kind of get his thoughts going back to even the consideration to protect the Cale Yarncroke over James Neal. I think this is interesting. So effectively what Nashville did not want to get into is a situation like a Tampa Bay where they're giving up 2, 3, 4 picks and a prospect to then protect a guy who's only available for one more year, because as we know, Neal's on the final year of his contract, and we can get to that in a minute as well. You could very well see James Neal traded again as soon as tomorrow to another team, or whether that's at the trade deadline, we'll see. And it looks like actually General Manager of the Year is up right now, so I'll wait on that if you want to announce.
Absolutely. Well, David Poyle is one of three candidates for the General Manager of the Year, along with Peter Chiarelli of the Edmonton Oilers and
from the Ottawa Senators.
His name is escaping me right now.
I doubt
Pierre Dorion.
Yes.
I mean, David Poyle is the favorite for this award, right?
Yes.
I mean, especially with this award being voted on after the second round of the playoffs.
Right.
With what the Preds did in the first two rounds of the playoffs. You know, when Poyle already has the momentum in this award with the PK Subban trade and all of the other moves that he's made over the last calendar year, he is the favorite for this award.
Well, and especially having the confidence, the fortitude to make two blockbuster deals. Ryan Johansson acquired for Seth Jones. Then he just follows it right back up by getting PK Subban for Shea Weber. There are few GMs who even have the assets to be able to make that move, but then to go forward and actually do it like David Poyle did, I think that definitely puts it in his favor. And there it is. He's officially won.
David Poyle is your NHL GM of the year, and this is certainly an award very well earned. And I don't think it's just for the job that he did over the last calendar year. Obviously, the PK Subban trade was the big moment for Poyle. Trading away your captain and Shea Weber, bringing in PK Subban, who, you know, struggled a little bit early in the year getting acclimated to his new team, Robbie. But once PK got back from his injury and started feeling 100% and the team started really clicking on all cylinders, you could see exactly what the Preds were envisioning when they acquired Subban from Montreal.
There's no doubt. And obviously that's the big trade that everybody's going to talk about. But, you know, some of it's some of the minor moves he made as well. I mean, bringing in a guy like Vernon Fiddler, scores a game-winning goal in the second round of the playoffs. Some of the depth guys that they've been able to draft, whether it's Kevin Fiala, Pontus Auberg, even guys that stepped into bigger roles throughout the season like Colton Sissons, Kyle Yarncroke. I mean, David Poile obviously has played the biggest part in why this roster looks the way it does right now and why they were two wins away from winning a Stanley Cup. So there's no question he's pulled off two of the biggest trades in the league over the course of the past couple of years with Ryan Johansson and P.K. Subban. And I think P.K. Subban, that trade in particular, really took over the hockey world and put the Predators on a map and a stage that I don't think they've been on before. And obviously, after Subban's injury and he got healthy and he got reacquainted into the lineup, that's when the Predators really started to take off in the second half of the regular season and carried that forward into the playoffs as well. So, well-deserved for David Poile. I think he probably could have won this award a few times before. Happy to see that he's won it now. I think it's well-deserved.
You mentioned some of the depth moves. Let's not forget Matt Irwin in particular, guy that I personally did not even think would make it out of Milwaukee this year, interviewing him this summer. Where is this team if he's not able to rise up and play on the first pairing for 15, 20 games?
Yeah.
And you think about how little the margin of error was, how soon we forget the Nashville Predators were the 16th team to make the playoffs, tied with two teams in the East who theoretically could have made the playoffs if we're not split up via conference-wise. So to have that forethought, to have your scouts, you know, kind of look around and say, you know, let's give this guy who's didn't even play in the NHL, was in the Boston Bruins organization the season prior, had spent some time with the San Jose Sharks in years past, but let's give this guy a chance. Now all of a sudden you've found that excellent complement on your fifth and sixth defenseman in Matt Irwin and Yannick Weber. They've now already both been re-signed for this coming season. So shows how those savvy little moves, again, I'll give one more now that it comes to mind. Harry Zolnarchuk signed in free agency on the first day. I mean, the Z factor, huge in the Chicago series. I mean, where's this team without his speed as well? So Robbie's right. We see the trades. We see the big ones. Yes. This team had to have a first-line center in Ryan Johansson. I think the P.K. Subban trade's only going to look better in the next 5 years, but it's the Matt Irwins, it's the Yannick Webers, it's the Harry Zolnarchuks. That's what pays off.
And you mentioned that, and there are two big days in the NHL calendar year when it comes to transactions. July 1st, you mentioned those three names, Matt Irwin, Yannick Weber, Harry Zolnarchuk. There's also the trade deadline, Robbie. And some contenders in the past, including Poile and the Preds, have made a big splash at the trade deadline, thinking that that move is going to get them over the top. The Preds went with the depth angle at the trade deadline, getting Cody McLeod, Vern Fiddler, P.A. Parenteau, and those moves, especially in the playoffs when injuries happened, those really paid off.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, the one thing we kept talking about during the playoff run this past year was the depth that the Predators have, and that's scouting, that's drafting, that's making the right trades, that's signing the right free agents to come in and fill roles. And I think the Predators roster was kind of a perfect blend of all of that last year, and that's the way it's going to have to continue to be as they move forward here with the loss of James Neal. You're going to have to figure out another way to piece together a roster that can be competitive, not only in the playoffs like they were this past year, but I don't think there's any secret about it either. I mean, Ryan Ellis talked about this about 10 minutes after they lost Game 6. They have to get home ice advantage next year.
Yep.
It's just too big of a deal to go on the road every single round in the playoffs and think that that's not going to catch up to you at some point. So there's no question that that's another area this summer that the Predators are going to have to be cognizant of. You have to make sure you replace a guy like Neal that comes in. You make sure that you have enough scoring, enough secondary scoring to get the job done, because you never know when injuries are going to happen. And that's, I think David Poile deserves a lot of credit for that in the run they were just able to put together, because they lost Ryan Johansson and Kevin Fiala, two big pieces in their top six, and were still able to advance through the playoffs. I mean, they won both games against Anaheim that Ryan Johansson missed when lots of people, myself included, probably didn't think that that was going to be possible at that point. So he deserves a lot of credit for putting together the young core that he's been able to do so far.
The next award handed out was the Jack Adams Award, and that goes to the best head coach in the National Hockey League, and that was given to John Tortorella of the Columbus Blue Jackets. They had a great regular season, not so much postseason. David Poile won the GM of the Year in a landslide. 18 first-place votes. Second, Peter Chiarelli, 6.
Wow.
That doesn't really surprise me.
I mean, like we talked about, the whole difference is this award is selected by the peers, meaning other general managers, after the second round of the playoffs. Right. That's when the hockey world was like, wait a second on this Nashville team.
Do you think he wins GM of the year if it's voted on before the playoffs?
I don't think so. No.
Do you think Chiarelli would have been the guy?
Yeah, I do. I just think with the big leap that Edmonton was able to take from being, as we know, pretty awful for the past decade, it helps. I think any general manager in the entire league would not be very difficult to convince to draft Connor McDavid, and that's obviously been the biggest piece of why Edmonton has been able to turn it around so far. But there's no question. I mean, the Predators largely underachieved in the regular season, ended up 16th, last seed in the Western Conference. So I think there's no question, had they waited to vote on that, had they voted on that award at the end of the regular season, I'm not sure David Poile would have won.
And we've been talking about a lot of the moves that Poile has made. One that he made about 5 years ago, around this time,
yep,
is one that I discussed a lot on these Predators Tonight shows throughout the playoffs, especially in the third and fourth rounds. They traded Anders Lindback to the Tampa Bay Lightning for 2 second-round picks. And at the time, you're like, okay, capitalizing on his value. He was a good backup to Pekka Rinne for a couple of seasons. Those 2 second-round picks turned into Colton Sissons and Pontus Aubergh.
Yeah.
And those are two guys that Preds fans were worried about losing in the expansion draft. If you weren't on the side of losing Neil was the biggest fear going into tonight, you were probably on the side of losing Colton Sissons,
right,
was the biggest fear. And they don't have Colton Sissons if they don't make that that minute trade of Lindbach to the Lightning for 2 second-round picks.
There have been a lot of those trades that David Poile has been able to make. And, you know, you just think back to some of those that have come in. I mean, Jan Halavich comes in at the trading deadline back in the day, and he's able to make a huge impact. I mean, David Poile has really made a living out of making these trades that don't look like much at the time, but they end up having a big impact on your team. And, you know, even the James Neal trade, I mean, you can make an argument it's a trade that really has benefited both teams. I mean, the Penguins obviously have won 2 consecutive Stanley Cups. Patrick Hornquist has been a huge part of both of those. James Neal comes here and is probably the type of sniper that the team had never really had,
yeah,
before he got here. So just he's been all over these big trades. He's not afraid to change up his lineup, shake up things in the locker room if he feels like there's something that needs to be done. And he's made a career of doing that, and it's paid off for him this past year.
So coming up next, we will finally get to all the options of how the Preds can replace James Neal. The GM of the Year award going to David Poile kind of got us sideways there. But how do the Preds replace James Neal? We will discuss that next on Predators Tonight. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game. That's right, Predators Tonight rolling right along here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porth in the Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet Studios, alongside Robbie Stanley of NHL.com, Thomas Willis of NashvillePredators.com, talking about James Neal being selected by the Vegas Golden Knights in the expansion draft. Later on in the hour, we'll get to David Poile, again, winning National Hockey League GM of the Year. What is going on NBC? I hate to be distracted.
A child has walked on stage.
David Poile was named General Manager of the Year just about 10 minutes ago. So we tease going into the break, how do the Nashville Predators replace James Neal? And earlier in the hour, we talked about some in-house options like Kevin Fiala, Pontus Aubergh, even guys like Craig Smith and Colin Wilson stepping up and, you know, playing to the capability that they're able. Robbie, we were talking before we went on the air about potential free agents, and the biggest one that stands out is TJ Oshie. We talked about him a lot earlier this hour. 33 goals last season, and 3 of his last 4 seasons he has scored 20 plus goals. Who else stands out in free agency? I know it's not a lot of guys, but who else stands out?
I think the next two that I look at after that are Thornton and Marleau from San Jose. You don't know if San Jose is going to let them get to free agency. They obviously spent a very long time there. Marleau had 27 goals last year at his age. That's very, very good, very productive player. He still is. Joe Thornton, by all accounts, I mean, you take a look at his numbers last year, and they're not quite where they've been throughout his entire career, but they're still pretty good for his age. So those are two guys you might want to take a look at. course, Joe Thornton is coming off a torn ACL, so that's something you also have to be mindful of, especially at his age. How is he going to recover from that? What's the recovery time going to be from that? And much past that, you start to look and it thins out a little bit. You got Justin Williams as a free agent. You got Nick Bonino from the Pittsburgh Penguins as a potential free agent as well. A guy like Thomas Vanek, even a guy like Jerome Iginla, who's going to be 40 years old here in the next couple days. I mean, there's a lot of options out there from a veteran perspective. There are not very many young guys out there that can come in and change a team or a franchise. So I think there's no question TJ Oshie is far and away the best free agent out there, and that, I think that's somebody the Predators are definitely going to take a look at it if he gets to free agency.
Thomas, I think the biggest or the name that intrigues me the most of the ones that Robbie just listed is actually a Preds killer of the past, and that's Patrick Marleau. A guy who scored, like Robbie said, 27 goals this season. He hasn't missed a game since 2009. He's been Mr. Consistency for the San Jose Sharks. He's not producing at the same level that he did 5-6 years ago, but at the same time, if he's just a stopgap in between, Kevin Fiala and Pontus Auberg and some of these young forwards truly getting to their prime, Marleau could be an intriguing option.
Certainly could be. I know that he's on the Preds' wish list or someone that they want to be cognizant of if he does come available. I think interesting with him, I've heard he wants at least a 3-year deal, which seems kind of like a lot at his age. I think if he leaves the San Jose Sharks, it's probably for that reason. It's tough to even choose between those two, but then to say, 3 more years at your age, I think that's the interesting point. I think the benefit, perhaps why it makes sense for Nashville, is the fact that, as you mentioned, Ryan, he doesn't need to be the first or second line player even. He's just an added threat. I think the primary place you perhaps feel James Neal's lost the most right now is on the power play. So if you have Patrick Marleau to kind of fill in that role, play those specialty minutes and that sort of thing, maybe he's only playing 15, 16 minutes a night, doesn't need to be that first line guy, then you still can rely on a Kevin Fiala and a Pontus Auberg in that way.
And Marleau turns 38 before the season. And like you said, if he's asking for a 3-year deal, that would be risky given that the 35 plus contract rule where even if he retires after one or two seasons, you're on the hook for that contract.
Yeah, and that's something. There's not going to be a whole lot of teams that are out there willing to sign him to a 3-year deal, and that's no fault to him or his production, but it's his age. When you reach 38 years old, asking for a 3-year deal is very, very risky, and there are not a lot of teams around the league that are going to want to do that. So we'll see if that ends up being what he gets. There's no doubt he's going to ask for it, but we'll see if that ends up being what he gets, and then. Like we talked about, I mean, other than Oshie, some of these guys that we've had discussions about are up there in age, and you're going to run into that same problem, whether it's Justin Williams, Joe Thornton. I mean, those guys are up there in age. They've been there before. They've played in some huge games. They've been very productive over the course of their careers. But we always say Father Time is undefeated, and eventually that catches up with everybody. So that's the danger you take in signing one of these guys to a longer-term deal is what happens when this time next year – they're still locked into that contract, and they're nowhere near the player you thought they were going to be.
The only guy that has defeated Father Time, I think, is Jaromir Jagr.
Yes, he is the exception, not the rule.
Well, if we can loop back, I think it's worth reminding that this wasn't a move that caught David Poile or the Preds by surprise, right?
Exactly.
They made the decision to protect Cale Yarncroke over James Neal intentionally a few days ago. I know for a fact that Poile tried to see what the price was for a trade if he could also have James Neal, but it's still the decision was made, Yarncroke over Neal. And I think for a couple of reasons, it's contract, it's age, and especially it's center, because you can't be in a position where you lose Mike Fisher to retirement as well, and if you'd lost Cale Yarncroke, all of a sudden your centers on your depth chart are Ryan Johansson, Colton Sissons, and Freddie Gaudreau. You don't even have a fourth-line center anymore.
Right.
I mean, just like that. So I think they were in the position, meaning the Predators management, where they looked at James Neal and they said, I think this guy's days of scoring 30 goals are probably over. He's not at the place where he plays 22, 25 minutes a night. That means he then goes down to the second line, which we saw this past year. He's actually even on the third and fourth line at different points. And that he then turned into what? A 23-goal scorer. Yes,
right.
It is. I will give him full credit. So impressive to see 9 consecutive seasons of 20 goals. But I think the Predators were forced, gun to their head, if you will, what's the youth, what's the contract look like? 5 more years of James Neal, 5 more years of Cale Yarncroke. They went Cale Yarncroke because they think all of a sudden those goal scoring levels, they're getting closer because Neal is going down from 30. Yarncroke's hopefully hitting at a 15 or something like that.
Right, and you're banking on a Craig Smith to bounce back. I mean, Craig Smith before this season had three straight 20-goal seasons.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he had 12 goals this season. It was a down year for him. We all know that. But Craig Smith, as we saw in the Stanley Cup final, once he got healthy, he is a guy capable of being a key secondary scorer on this team.
Yeah, there's no doubt, and I fully expect Craig Smith next year to have a bounce-back year. But there's no doubt it's going to take more than that. I mean, you're going to have more production from just him to replace the offense that you've lost from James Neal. And quite honestly, Colin Wilson's a guy I don't think they can rely on anymore. He's a guy that in the regular season, he's not produced. And in the playoffs, he traditionally has. This year, not so much. I know he's battling through injury, and that changes a lot of things. But in my mind, Colin Wilson is not a guy that you can rely on to produce for you offensively in the regular season. It's just, like you said, he is what he is at this point, and there's not much that's going to change that. So that puts even more pressure on guys like Sissons, like Yarncroke, like Aaberg, to really step in and fill those roles and produce offensively. And that's what they're going to have to do. And Colton Sissons, while he had a great playoff run, was really valuable for this team, really struggled in the regular season. He didn't mm-hmm. really put it together until almost the end of March, early April. I mean, people forget, in February and some parts of the first part of March, he was a healthy scratch. So
yep.
There's no question losing James Neal is a big deal, and it's going to take more than guys like Craig Smith having a bounce-back year. They're going to need continued production and a rise in production from guys like Aaberg and Sissons and Yarncroke offensively if they're going to make this work.
Colin Wilson's career high in points is 42. That was also the season in which he scored 20 goals. That's the only time he has reached 20 goals. So, I mean, he's now seven plus seasons into his NHL career. For people to think that there's more from him, even though we have seen it in the playoffs from him back, you know, in 2015 and 2016, not so much this year. Over the course of an 82-game regular season schedule, I just don't know if we're going to see much more out of him.
I mean, there's no reason to expect that you will at this point. I mean, at some point, you just are what your numbers say you are.
Yep.
And I think that's what Colin Wilson is at this point. And, you know, you just take a look at that contract. I think in a perfect world, the Predators might want to move him. But I just don't know who's going to take that contract. So there's a lot of decisions that David Poile is going to have to make this summer. There's no question in my mind they're going to be active in free agency. If they aren't able to land what they want to in free agency, they're going to explore other options via trade. Because we've all talked about this to a certain extent. They're in a window right now where they have an opportunity to win a Stanley Cup. And it takes such a long time to get to this point that once you're finally there, you have to take advantage of it. And David Poile knows that. The scouting department knows that.
Yep.
They're going to do whatever it takes to make sure they have a team that they put out on the ice next year. And it may not even be at the start. I mean, we saw in October last year, the Predators really struggled. And Peter Laviolette basically said, you don't have to win a championship in October. So if they start the season and their roster doesn't look like what you think it should, David Poile is going to do something about that before the season ends, and he has no choice because, like I said, they're in a win-now mode. I think they're in a win-now mode for the next 2-3 years, and you have to capitalize on that because it's so difficult to get to this point.
You rattled off a lot of free agent names, and one that I thought about this afternoon was Justin Williams, and he's another guy getting up there in age. He's 35. He had back-to-back 20-goal seasons with the Washington Capitals. And when you think back, even though it was 11 years ago, his best seasons in the NHL were with Peter Laviolette with the Carolina Hurricanes. I mean, he scored over 30 goals in the two seasons that he played for Lavi. So I think that could be an option. I mean, I don't know if you rely on him to score 25, 30 goals, but he can chip in. There's no question.
And he scores big goals.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of the main – that's how Justin Williams has made a living in his career is they don't call him Mr. Game 7
exactly.
for no reason. Like, he's a big-time player. When the moment gets big, Justin Williams plays his best. So, I also think he's a guy that maybe wouldn't cost you that much if you're going out looking for a free agent. So, David Poile is definitely going to have options when it comes to free agency. And another thing that we haven't quite touched on yet is this playoff run, I think, does a lot of good for the Predators because I think mm-hmm. probably for the first time in the history of their franchise, they're in a position where you look at around the league, they're probably in the top five right now in terms of just attraction from an outsider's perspective. You're 2 wins away from the Stanley Cup. Everybody saw the fan base and the support in Nashville and how the city rallied around the team. You have a young core that allows you to be competitive, and you have a weapon that nobody else in the entire league has, and that's the top four defense core that the Predators have. There are a lot of reasons, if you're a free agent, to look at Nashville and say, that's an attractive place to be. And oh, by the way, there's no state income tax either. That's a big deal as well.
I think this conversation has changed so much from when it's been happening maybe 6-7 seasons ago. In the past, it was, you're sitting here hypothetically going, man, they could use a... this guy's 35, but he got 20 goals. We really need a first line forward. That's not what the Predators are asking in this. They're not trying to immediately say, in their minds, James Neal was not a first line forward anymore. So you've got Kevin Fiala effectively in that spot. Maybe you are more open to get a 34, 35-year-old guy because you just need 15 goals. You don't need a 30, 40-goal scorer. You're assuming that's coming from other places in your roster. I think that combined with the fact, to Robbie's point, of all of a sudden a Joe Thornton or a Patrick Marleau, the spot you maybe want to try for the Cup for the next two or three seasons, it's Nashville all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't that way in the past. You were trying to, A, get this first-line guy to do these magical things that was too old, and then, B, that free agent subsequently was not looking at Nashville going, yeah, that's the place I want to end my career.
Right.
Maybe it is now.
Not with only how they played on the ice, but when they just watch and observe on TV and see the atmosphere in and outside of the building, that's something where you go, I want to be a part of that.
When you have Matt Duchene tweeting afterwards, you know, wow, what? Look what you did, Nashville fans, crowds, that sort of thing. I mean, that's a guy, clearly he would love to play here for other reasons, but when you have other players vocally and publicly recognizing, I would love to play in an environment like that, that means it's real.
Absolutely. Well, the next wave of expansion picks have been made by the Vegas Golden Knights. And a division rival of the Preds has lost a pretty good player. We will tell you who that is, and we'll get into, did Vegas make the right move for them to pick James Neal over Colton Sissons or somebody else that the Preds left unprotected? We'll get to all of that next on Predators Tonight on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're rolling right along here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is Predators Tonight. Ryan Porth in the Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet Studios alongside Robbie Stanley of NHL.com, Thomas Willis of Nashville Predators.com. We teased before the break that a division rival has lost a good player in the next wave of expansion picks by the Vegas Golden Knights. And that player is David Perron from the St. Louis Blues. Not one of their best players, but as we saw, you know, in the first round and late in the regular season, when the Blues had some injuries, David Perron stepped up, and he's proven over the years that he can be a key secondary guy on a team.
He can. I will say this. The Predators made him look very bad in the second round.
They did.
He was not good at all.
They made
against the Predators.
A number of Blues players look very bad
they
in
did.
That series.
They did.
But again, this is a franchise that protected Ryan Reeves over David Perron. I just don't understand it.
Are you saying that you would have protected David Perron over Ryan Reeves?
Protected anyone over Ryan Reeves.
I'm with him.
Oh, my gosh. I don't understand it.
I would probably have still protected Keith Tkachuk over Ryan Reeves. Yeah. He's been retired.
Yeah. Barney Brodeur, he's your assistant
Keith
GM,
Tkachuk.
Just in case.
Yeah.
Just in case. Protect him, too.
Yeah. Well,
I get it.
A couple other players in this latest wave of expansion picks for Vegas: Mark Mathot from the Ottawa Senators, Alexi Yemelin from the Montreal Canadiens, and there's still another round to go in this gong show of an expansion draft slash awards show on NBC.
Which theoretically only has 11 minutes remaining, and yet we've
As
got...
Iceberg, the Penguins' mascot, is doing some weird things on the stage, and it's just off the rails.
Hope you guys have a good rest of your night.
So we've been talking about the Preds angle of James Neal. Losing James Neal, what it means, who's going to replace him, all that. Well, when you're looking at it from the Vegas Golden Knights perspective, Robbie, did Vegas make the right pick to go with James Neal over the other options they had?
I think they did, and Thomas touched on this earlier. You just don't know what they're going to do with him now. I wouldn't be surprised at all if James Neal gets traded again. I mean, the rosters unfreeze tomorrow morning. I think it's 8:00 local time when they unfreeze, and you could see James Neal get traded away to L.A. or Toronto or to wherever as soon as tomorrow. So it's not a guarantee that James Neal is going to start the season with the Vegas Golden Knights. And if he does, and say Vegas, you know, they're going to be a competitive team, but they're probably not going to be a playoff team, if at the when the trading deadline comes around, James Neal is going to be a very attractive guy to float out there as a rental player. So there's no question. I think that Vegas made the right decision. I think they can get a lot of assets for James Neal, whether they choose to trade him now, whether they choose to wait until the trading deadline and sell him to the highest bidder then. I think that was the main attraction of why they did what they did. And if he does play for them, I mean, that's a guy that you could market to your fan base in a new city where you need some stars, you need some guys that can put the puck in the back of the net.
Right.
And there's no question that James Neal knows how to do that. So he's a guy that's been around the league. He's been an all-star before. I think especially when you're in the entertainment business and in an entertainment capital of the world like Las Vegas is, I think that goes into it as well.
Well, I think the biggest question I have is who on this roster is going to get him the puck?
That's a great question.
That has been...
I would have said Eric Staal, but they just took Mikael Granlund, so
well,
never mind.
I mean, Mikael Granlund is probably their number one center.
Yeah,
I mean, looking at all the names that have popped up in this expansion draft, they don't have a true number one or number two center. No, Mikael Granlund is up for late being.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're confused. So
yeah, the Wild took Eric Halla, or the Vegas took Eric Halla, or is going.
I'm surprised
to
take Eric Staal in that situation.
So it's unbelievable. Anyway. I was shocked.
Yeah, Eric Staal is who I would have gone. But anyways, but you're right.
Neal's biggest seasons in Pittsburgh were because of it helped that he played alongside of Evgeny Malkin.
Oh, of course.
There's no doubt.
And then his biggest season with the Preds was he spent a lot of time with Ryan Johansson.
Yeah.
So I think the biggest question I have is who are they drafting tonight? Who are they signing in the offseason? Who's going to be willing to go to an expansion team that can get James Neal the puck?
Yeah, I don't know. I think more to Robbie's point, whereas James Neal's contract situation was a reason for Nashville to expose him in the draft, it was a reason to take him in the draft from Vegas. And whether that means you flip him tomorrow when the trade unfreezes, when the acquisitions are able to be made again, or you're waiting till the deadline, who doesn't want a perennial 20-goal scorer at the deadline if you're a contender going down? So you all of a sudden have gotten some guy, if he plays there, who's got some actual name value, he's on your first line, you're able to market him, and then you're able to trade him to a first-round pick, which George McPhee probably wanted more in the first place.
Right.
So, I mean, it's kind of feels like a win-win from their perspective. So you play him, you're almost certainly trading him. I don't, unless he's signing a deal to stay long-term in Vegas,
which I
do not see happening. He is getting traded out of Las Vegas almost certainly. It's whether it's tomorrow at the draft this weekend or at the trade deadline.
Right.
And it's kind of a win for Vegas either way.
Right. And for other teams out there, for the 29 other teams, not named the Preds or the Golden Knights, he's an attractive option.
Sure.
1 year, $5 million, a very affordable player. And if you're looking for that one piece, the one piece that the Preds are losing could be one piece that a team is gaining that could elevate them, you know, from a playoff contender to maybe a cup contender.
Well, and you're in the situation where I think the first red flag would be his contract could be tough cap hit wise at the deadline for a contender. I mean, how many contenders are sitting around there with $5 million open in space? But Vegas is so new and has so much money and whatever, I'm sure they would be willing to be like, we'll retain the full 50% right now, $2.5 million.
Right.
I mean, because who cares? You know, it's just they don't care about their cap room right now. They're just trying to make sure they get to the floor. So I definitely see him moving somewhere.
So Andrew Berkshire of Sportsnet was on Jared and the GM this afternoon, and they asked him the question of, would you pick James Neal if you were the Vegas Golden Knights? And his response was, I would actually go with Colton Sissons. And when you look at it from Vegas's perspective, you're probably not going to have Neal pass this season, like you guys have been alluding to. In all likelihood, he's getting traded. So when you look at Colton Sissons as probably the number two option of the unprotected Preds players, what kind of a pick could he have been for Vegas if they went that route, Robbie?
Well, I think he's a guy that you know what you're going to get. He's going to play a solid 200-foot game every night. But I think people over the last few weeks have really gotten carried away with Colton Sissons. I don't think there's any doubt that he stepped up and played extremely well in the playoffs, was really productive for the Predators, and stepped into a first-line center role when Ryan Johansson was out of the lineup. But we've seen this all the time. We're talking about a month and a half, two-month span right there. He has not proven it over a course of an entire season.
True.
And like we said before, there was a time in February and March where he could not crack the lineup for the Predators. So Well, I certainly think there's a lot of reason for Colton Sissons to have confidence heading into next season and for the Predators to be confident in what he can do. There's no reason to assume that he's just going to be able to go in there and be a second-line center and be a guy that scores 45 points, 40 or 50 points, and 20 goals along the way. It's still going to be a work in progress. Do I think he can get to that level? Sure. I mean, he's done it at every level he's ever been at. He's a 25-goal scorer in Milwaukee. But I think it's very dangerous for the Predators or anybody else to just assume that he's naturally going to take that step next year, because it's a process. We see it with young players all the time. They're very up and down in their play. I do think Colton Sissons got a lot of valuable experience, and his ability and his confidence grew as the playoffs went on. But I don't think he's at the point in his career yet where you can say that he has arrived, if that makes any sense.
It makes a lot of sense.
No, it does. I mean, because let's think back to the regular season. Colton Sissons was the heir apparent to Paul Gostad. We all were convinced, probably all three of us, this is a decided upgrade. And then, you know, the doldrums for the season happens. You see that from the younger players. They get to a January and a February, and it's kind of like, much like we as media get tired of the season in January, February. They, too. See, I mean, in all seriousness, you know, don't have the stamina, the legs. They're not used to that kind of level of competition, and you saw that he flamed out. So, yeah, I don't think you can just assume that he can do that, but I think you're definitely encouraged by what you saw, primarily just in the Anaheim series, when he had to step up and what he did. So,
He didn't look out of place against Pittsburgh.
Exactly. No, he did not.
Right.
Yeah. Held his own against a Sidney Crosby. I mean, goodness.
I know. I think it could be a catapult for him. You know, he was going through some of those issues, like you talked about, Robbie, throughout the regular season, but having that confidence and, you know, if he can carry that over to start next season, I think that's only going to do him wonders. Up next on Predators Tonight, we've been talking about the expansion draft. We're going to get back into David Poile winning the GM of the Year award. Certainly an award well-earned and well-deserved by David Poile, who's been the GM for 2 decades of the Nashville Predators. That's coming up next on Predators Tonight on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome into Predators Tonight here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, your flagship home of the Nashville Predators Radio Network. Ryan Porth here alongside Robbie Stanley of NHL.com and Thomas Willis of NashvillePredators.com. We've been talking for the last hour mostly about the expansion draft and how the Preds have lost a key scorer in James Neal to the Vegas Golden Knights, and we don't know if he's going to stay with the Vegas Golden Knights, but that's neither here nor there. He is no longer a member of the Nashville Predators. Their general manager, David Poile, a few minutes after James Neal got picked in the expansion draft, was named General Manager of the Year. And Thomas, I know you have some quotes from David Poile about winning said award.
Well, yes. And then from there, he just, and I'll paraphrase this, but because I want to go get to another quote he had earlier in the day as well. But again, Poile, just one of the greatest guys in the game. I think we can all agree to that with our dealings. So gracious, so humble. From the very moment he starts to talk about the award, he just begins to say, this is a whole organizational award. Calls out Paul Fenton and his ability to scout talent. His son, Brian Poile, and how he manages the business side. Even mentions the staff and just how they kind of propel this team to greatness. He was saying earlier that he really felt like the Stanley Cup final was like 3 Super Bowls in Nashville in the space of 10 days, and just how it felt like a dream, how he's been behind the helm of this team for almost 20 years now, 20th anniversary season's coming up, and it's everything he ever imagined that it would be. So I just couldn't happen to a better guy. So excited for him. And then again, for him to just return with the graciousness and the humbleness right back to everyone else that's kind of helped him get to the position. That's pretty cool. Foreshadowing, this is now a guy who's been a GM for the longest tenure, for the second most ever in NHL history. If the Predators win 38 games in the 2017-2018 season, just 38, he will have won more games than any general manager in NHL history. So
impressive.
We're about to see a couple records fall for Mr. David Poile this coming season. You certainly would expect this Predators team to get those 38 victories. So, I mean, how special. This would be his 39th consecutive year as a general manager, because he went straight from the Washington Capitals. And then as we all read John Glennon's story and then some others this a couple weeks ago, the fact that he had an offer to be the Toronto Maple Leafs GM on the table, his dad said he should take it. And he said, you know what? I think the opportunity to grow something from the ground up, like an expansion team in Nashville, I'm going that route. So
that's a bold decision.
That incredible. His dad had played for the Maple Leafs and was like, "This isn't even a decision." And he's like, "It is. It's not." And you're right. It's the other way. I'm going to Nashville. So cool for him. One other quote I wanted to read quickly, talking about kind of the reasoning behind the James Neal, the Kyle Yarncroke, the protection list. So I'll read this in full. It's not that long, but this is Poile. I'm reading from Brooks's piece on NashvillePredators.com. "With how well we played in the playoffs, I'd certainly like to bring everybody back, but the prices to make a deal with Vegas were very high. McPhee was looking for younger players or higher draft picks, and at the end of the day, I just felt like we had to do what the expansion draft was set out to do, and that's lose a player. In this case, we lost James Neal, and that's a pretty big price to pay. The Predators have lost a really good person and a really good player in James Neal. With every action, there's another opposite reaction. Just like we saw in the playoffs when we had injuries, different people now have to step up to the plate, whether that's a Frederick Gaudreau, Pontus Aubert, or Colton Sissons. The bad news is we lost James Neal. The good news is now we're going to give opportunities to some of our younger players."
I guess the silver lining to this for the Preds is we could have been sitting here a year from now saying they could be losing James Neal for nothing. And it's happening just 1 year early. And I think the thing that is so painful for this for Preds fans is that you feel like going into next year you're going to be a Stanley Cup contender again. You made the deep playoff run this year, and with this young core just getting another year of experience, you feel like they can get back to the Stanley Cup final. And having James Neal or having a goal scorer, a key goal scorer on that second line, other than Forsberg and Johansson and Arvidsson on the first line, is obviously a key component, Robbie, to said puzzle.
Yeah, and it's one they're going to have to figure out, because we've talked about the younger players, and I certainly think there's no question that Kevin Fiala is eventually going to get to that point where he's a guy that scores 25, 30 goals and can be that offensive playmaker that we all know he's going to be one day. I mean, people forget he's still 20 years old, so there's a lot of upside still left in his game. There's a lot of talent that he has. But I think it's very dangerous to just assume that those younger guys are automatically going to take that step next year. And that's why I think it's so important that you have to take a look at some of these players in free agency. And if that doesn't work, you have to see, okay, what are my options going to be via a trade? And that doesn't have to be in October or November when the season starts. Maybe it's January, February, around the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. And you rely on your younger players to carry you up until that point. Like I said, I have a lot of confidence in the younger players of the Predators, like Fiala, like Yarncroke, like Sissons, to be good players, to be reliable players, and to be productive players offensively. I just think it's dangerous to assume that a guy like Kevin Fiala, who's never played a full season in the NHL, is going to go from scoring 10 goals to jumping up to 30 goals. I mean, we saw it with Victor Arvidsson last year. I think that's more of an exception, not the rule. Certainly think Kevin Fiala has the potential to have a breakout season like that, but I think it's dangerous just to assume that's going to happen.
Yeah, well, I think for the future, the Predators felt like, as David Poile said, you have to, you know, let the expansion draft take its part. And I think, wouldn't it be tougher if we were sitting here thinking, oh, wow, they just lost a first-round pick and Colton Sissons or something like that.
Right.
I think they were faced with a tough decision. And much like we talked about how David Poile at this trade deadline made the tough decision to say, you know what, I'm just going to go for depth. I think that's what we need. I'm going to round out this roster. I'm not going to blow it up and give up some big pick or something like that to try and help this team down the stretch. Clearly, it worked out. They reached the Stanley Cup final. So I think it might be 2 or 3 years before we know, did they make the right move here? But I think, and again, of course, biased to a certain extent, but I think if I'm choosing, I'd rather just lose the single piece rather than the 3, 4, or 5 and not know, you know, now we've lost Colton Sissons and he's just now entering the best parts of his career, or, you know, for example.
Right. And I think an interesting thought to all of this is that the expansion draft kind of fell at maybe the worst time that it could have for the Preds. You're coming off a Stanley Cup playoff run where everyone is amped up, everyone's excited, everyone thinks you're going to be in that position again. So that opens the wound a little bit more. The other thing is, if this would have happened, say, last year, if the expansion draft was going on June 23rd of last year, we probably would have been sitting here. They would have assumedly gone with the 4-4-1 protection list for or eight skaters and one goalie. Yeah. And the four forwards, you can make an argument at the time, would have been Neil, Forsberg, Johansson, and Fisher. And we would have been sitting here thinking, oh, my goodness, are they going to lose Craig Smith?
Right.
Coming off three straight 20-goal seasons. And, you know, Craig Smith, I think, could be a key player moving forward for the Preds again. But you just never know, I guess, how these things are going to pan out.
Well, right. I mean, Victor Arvidsson wouldn't even have been a consideration
a year
ago. I mean, out of nowhere. And I think you saw what the Predators analytics teams and such like about a player like a Victor Arvidsson is he shoots all the time. That's the Peter Laviolette system. That's mm-hmm. how he's gotten goals. He never quits working. He's just 24 years old. You're probably getting 5, 6, 7 more years of that. You're probably not from a James Neal. So I think that's where the decision comes from. So you're right. I think things have changed, but I think to be able to see it happen on the biggest stage from some of these younger guys in the playoffs, that's what gives you the confidence if you're the Preds. Prime example for me personally, Ryan Johansson legitimately was Nashville's best player when he was injured. I know some players said that, and of course there's a thing that you just say. He absolutely was taking over games.
There's no question.
In the second and the third round.
Even the first round, he dominated Jonathan Toews.
Yeah, because wasn't that the big knock, wasn't it? Well, Poile was forced to trade Seth Jones. He needed somebody. I don't think he really wanted Ryan Johansson. How is that guy ever going to stack up against a Jonathan Toews or Ryan Getzlaf? And then the image to me is in Game 3 when Ryan Johansson just kind of does almost a Forsberg reverse check into Toews, sends him into the corner, and just cuts the goal.
He basically gave him the Heisman.
Yeah. It's like, oh, okay, I think he can match up against some of these
right.
other top centers in the West. So to see him shine, like we talked about, to see Sissons, to see Auberg, to see Freddie Gaudreau probably be your fourth line center, or at least an option out of nowhere, seemingly, that's what gave them the confidence to do that. And all of a sudden, you're looking at we're now going to go into a season where Forsberg, Johansson, and Arvidsson may be one of the most respected lines in the NHL.
Right.
Just think about that.
Absolutely.
That's crazy.
Absolutely. And timing-wise, again, if you pick this expansion draft up and move it to next year at this time, Neil as an unrestricted free agent, pending free agent, and if he had not been signed to an extension, is not a part of the protection plan. And you could be sitting here having the debate of, are they going to protect Sissons or Yarncroke? Or maybe Yarncroke has an injury-riddled season, and you're sitting here debating Sissons and Auberg or Sissons and Smith. You know, I think it sucks losing James Neal, and I think a lot of the pain from it is just the timing of it, the unfortunate timing of where it landed for the Nashville Predators.
Right. Yeah. Look, there's no doubt that Mike Fisher plays a big role in this too. Because I think if you know for sure that he's coming back next year, maybe you approach this a little bit differently. Maybe you do lose a guy like Yarncroke or Sissons, and you're willing to part with that because you know that Fisher will be back, and you're willing to take a chance that, okay, we're going to ride it out one more year and try to go win a championship with James Neal in our lineup. But you don't know what the future holds for Mike Fisher. And like we've talked about, it's one thing to lose one center iceman in an offseason. You lose two, and all of a sudden that changes your entire makeup of your roster. So that was a huge factor in why they made the decision they did.
Coming up next, we'll open up the phone, 615-737-1025. If you want to weigh in on the Preds losing James Neal in the expansion draft, if you want to weigh in on the Preds, on Preds general manager David Poile for winning GM of the year, if you want to weigh in on anything Preds, this is your opportunity, 615-737-1025. We'll also get into other options the Preds could have to replace James Neal. We've talked about in-house options. We've talked about free agents. What about some trades? I'm sure the rumor mill is going to fire up tonight and for the next couple days leading into the NHL draft. That's all coming up next on Predators Tonight on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Predators Tonight on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porth in the Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet Studios alongside Robbie Stanley of NHL.com and Thomas Willis of NashvillePredators.com. We're discussing all things Preds tonight as James Neal has been selected by the Vegas Golden Knights in the expansion draft. Also, David Poile has won the NHL GM of the Year award. They just announced in the expansion draft that Vegas has also taken Marc-Andre Fleury. 14 years ago today, he was drafted by the Pittsburgh Penguins first overall in these city limits. Yeah. How crazy is that?
That's nuts.
Perhaps one of the most successful and richest drafts in recent memory.
Yeah. So
a lot of good players in that draft.
You would assume that Marc-Andre Fleury now becomes the face of the franchise for the Vegas Golden Knights. He's won a Stanley Cup. He's a high-profile goaltender. Well, he didn't win the last two. He was on the roster.
Did he hold the trophy, Porth?
He did hold the trophy.
All right, then.
And he did play a big part in this year's run.
I'm going to take you more. He won all three. He did. I mean, because much like last season, he was, again, their starter for several key games and series within the playoffs. So, yeah. Definitely played a role.
Well, he wasn't the winning goaltender.
Stop trying to backpedal, Porth. He's a three-time Stanley Cup champion.
Spewing out facts. He wasn't the winning goaltender in the winning game.
And Cody Egan will also be the face of the franchise because he has red hair.
Red hair.
And solely for that reason.
And as well, as does Thomas Wilson, Brooks Bratton, the 1-2 duo of NashvillePredators.com. If you'd like to weigh in on this news tonight, you can call us at 615-737-1025. Let's go to Sam in the Borough. Sam, welcome into Preds tonight.
Hey, guys. What's up?
What's up?
I just wanted to talk a little bit about David Poile. I think that he's probably the hands down the most deserving GM of the Year candidate in the last few years. I think he, doubled up the next highest vote getter. I think the next highest was 52. He got like 112 votes. I think one of you guys tweeted that out earlier. But I think he was far and away a wonderful GM and has been for the last two decades for the Preds. He's done wonderful things. You guys are talking about his decision to forego the Toronto job to come here and build something from scratch. I think he was an absolute perfect guy to do it. Also, James Neal, losing him really hurts, but I think if you're the Golden Knights and you're looking at the available options that we have, I think it's a no-brainer. You can't take Colton Sissons, you can't take Pontus Aber. You have to take James Neal, if for no other reason than trade bait, as you guys said. But if for some reason he signs an extension there, I think they've really struck gold with him. But one question I did want to ask is, what chance do you think there would be, not for a trade, but say James Neal gets traded somewhere else before the season, mid-season, out of Vegas, doesn't sign an extension for some reason, is there a chance he hits free agency and David Poile goes and tries to get him back, maybe at a lesser rate? I'm not sure the chances of that, but I'll hang up and let you guys talk about that. Thanks.
Thanks, Sam, for the call. Robbie, I think would be an option for the Preds, especially if they go through a season where they struggle to score goals. I know for a fact James Neal has really liked his time here in Nashville over the last 3 years.
Oh, he loved it. And look, a lot of that is going to depend on the type of year that James Neal has. I mean, if he goes out and scores 30 goals again, I think he's going to be in a position where he's going to be commanding so much money financially that it's probably not going to be in the Predators' best interest to go after him again. If he's in the 20-goal range again and you don't think maybe he makes $4.5 to $5 million in his next contract per year, then maybe if you're the Predators, you think that it's worth going after him again. But I think a lot of that's going to depend on the type of year that he has, the impact he has on either Vegas or what other team he gets dealt to. So I think it's probably too early to answer that question. Certainly, I think in a perfect world, it would be an option for the Predators because I think there's some mutual interest there. There's no doubt the Predators didn't want to lose James Neal. It just kind of had to happen with the way the expansion draft rules played out. But there's no question James Neal enjoyed his time here. He talked about it several times about wanting to finish his career here. So obviously disappointing for James Neal today, but I think depending on the type of season he has next year, then we can circle back to that conversation and see whether or not it's worth the Predators going after him.
And I think if he wasn't a part of their plans past next season anyway, maybe this truly is it.
Yeah.
And in all likelihood, I would guess that it is. Let's go back to the phone, 615-737-1025. If you want to weigh in on tonight's Preds news, Jack is on a highway, Robbie, not an interstate. Jack, welcome into Predators tonight.
Thank you. I'm going to play general manager for a minute and let you critique it.
Okay.
Fisher's going to retire. That puts $5 million in my bucket. Neil's gone. That puts $5 million in my bucket. Smith and Wilson are both making about $4 million. That's eight more. That's $18 million. I'm going to package Smith, Wilson, and the first-round draft choice in some combination and go get Matt Duchene. He's going to cost you $6 million. I'm going to have, out of my bucket there, with all those salaries gone, if I just have to lose Smith or Wilson, I still got $14 million, and I've spent six of it on Matt Duchene. I'm going to take eight of it and go to get T.J. Oshie, and we are going to kick some booty.
We will.
Any of that happening, would Colorado ever take a first-round pick or two of those guys or anything of that name for Matt Duchene?
Yeah, Jack, we'll discuss it. Thanks for the call. Interesting dynamic he threw out there. Certainly adding Duchene and Oshie would put the Preds' offense to another level. I don't think it's as simple, though, as Wilson Smith on a first to get Matt Duchene from Colorado.
The thing in this hypothetical scenario, the thing that I would affirm is it probably costing about $7 or $8 million to get T.J. Oshie. I think that's the part that's probably correct. I think that's the part that is possible. However, Joe Sackett, general manager of the Colorado Avalanche, has been pretty adamant and continued to not trade Duchene last season because he didn't get what he wanted, that what he wants is a first-round draft pick, a top two, three defenseman, another capable player, so maybe that's your Craig Smith, your Colin Wilson, and then probably a top prospect as well. So what the Avalanche need more than anything is defense. They want to trade Matt Duchene into a defenseman because they've got a Nathan MacKinnon, a Gabriel Landeskog. The Preds are not going to touch their top four defense. And so without that, you just can't swing that trade. It just wouldn't happen.
The only possible chance that they would have of getting Matt Duchene is if Colorado was suddenly willing to take either probably one of, if not both, of Dante Fabbro and Samuel Girard off their hands and a first-round draft pick.
Right.
That would probably be the only chance they would have to get Matt Duchene. I agree with Thomas. There's no way in the world. I shouldn't say that because they traded Shea Weber, so anything's possible.
True.
But it's very unlikely to me anyway that they're going to trade one of their top four defensemen in order to get a guy like Matt Duchene. I think they saw in this last playoff run how valuable and what a weapon that top four is, and you can't just give that up.
And when you look at trade options for the Preds, I think Matt Duchene is an option. I haven't seen a lot of big names in the trade talks in the rumor mill. Jordan Eberle is a guy that has been widely talked about, not only this summer, but over the last couple of years, the fact that he hasn't really elevated his game to another level that everyone expected. Maybe there are some guys out there that we think aren't available that actually are available.
Sure.
But I don't know if trade to fill the exact hole of James Neal is going to come to fruition.
Especially if you were looking at a scenario where you've committed $11, $12 million to re-sign a Johansson and an Arvidsson, probably another million or two to get back upon a Sauberg and a Freddie Gaudreau. Let's not forget their restricted free agents as well. Your advantage, your asset from a Predators perspective is that you actually have some cap space available.
Right.
You're not in this situation anymore where you had the Seth Jones for Ryan Johansson trade. You had a wealth of defense. You were willing to get rid of that. Shea Weber for PK Subban, that's a straight up one for one. You're probably not doing that anymore. So from Nashville, you don't want to continue to just lose assets from this team that just went to the Stanley Cup final. I think it probably minimizes the trade option a lot. However, David Poile, as of today, said, depending on what Mike Fisher does, I'm probably looking at adding one or two forwards, whether free agency or trade. So it's still definitely possible. We're not going to sit here and say that it's not. But I think if you're going one or the other, it's probably free agency that you're adding through more so than a trade.
Absolutely. And Jack, the caller, brought up salary cap room. And we will tell you why it may not be as much as Jack thought there might be when the dust clears, when they need to sign the guys that they need to re-sign. That's coming up next on Predators Tonight on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Rolling right along here in the Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet Studios. This is Predators Tonight on ESPN 102.5 The Game, your flagship home of the Nashville Predators Radio Network. Ryan Porth here alongside Robbie Stanley of NHL.com and Thomas Willis of NashvillePredators.com. In last segment, a caller brought up all the salary cap space that the Nashville Predators will have now that James Neal is gone and under the circumstance that Mike Fisher might retire. Well, Robbie and I were looking at this before the show started, and now that James Neal is off the books, as expected, due to the expansion draft, according to CapFriendly.com, the Preds have $22.7 million of cap space, which sounds like a lot until you remember that they need to re-sign restricted free agents in this mix. So Ryan Johansson and Victor Arvidsson are their two big ones, two big restricted free agents. And you assume that that might take $11 to $12
million. Yeah. I mean, I think there's no doubt Johansson is going to land somewhere around the $7 million a year range. And then after that, you've got Arvidsson maybe in the four and a half area. So you're talking $11 million, $11.5 million, $12 million there just between those two guys. So that cuts it automatically from $22 million to $12 million right there.
Right, exactly. The $11.5 million that it could take to re-sign Joey and Arvy would leave you at $11 million of cap space. If Fisher comes back, you're thinking $2 or $3 million, maybe a little bit more to bring him back. That cuts it down to $8 million, perhaps. And then you've got other RFAs like Pontus Aubrey, Austin Watson, Freddie Gaudreau that, you know, while they're not going to get huge raises from what they were making, they're not going to be minimum salaries.
Right.
And you're probably looking at $2 to $3 million right there between those three. So whether Fisher retires or not, you're looking at anywhere from $6 million to $8 or $9 million that you're going to have. And if you sign TJ Oshie like the caller wanted to do, that's going to take up a lot of that available cap space.
Well, you pretty much have no cap space
right
after that. So if you sign TJ Oshie, you're pretty much a cap team at that point, and you just got to ride from there and make it work. Now, remember, you've got Mike Ribeiro coming off the books. If Fisher doesn't come back, he comes off the books as well. So
it's
going to give some people some room to play with. But still, I mean, they're going to be right up against the cap if they go after a guy like TJ Oshie.
Right. The 22.7 million of cap space factors in the
right
fact that Ribeiro and Fisher are off the books.
Right.
So a lot of that salary that is coming off the books is going to go to Johansson and Arvidsson.
There's no doubt. And look, I mean, you have to pay those guys.
Right.
They're your two leading scorers in the regular season. And like Thomas said, Johansson, I thought, other than Pekka throughout the playoffs, was by far their best player. I just thought he was outstanding when he was in the lineup. So he's going to make close to $7 million, you would think. You would think Arvidsson's going to make right around four and a half. So at that point, it's going to take a lot of wiggle room, depending on whether or not Mike Fisher decides to come back. You're only going to have room for probably one top free agent. And if you land that, that's great. And then you have to hope your younger guys can fill in from there and elevate their games to roles where they can continue to be productive.
Allow me to point out at this point why the Predators are even in this opportunity, because of three of the best contracts in the NHL.
Yeah.
How much money does Roman Josi make, guys? $4 million.
But it gets better.
How much does Ryan Ellis make? $2.5 million. Ryan Ellis, he's their first pair defenseman. Oh, Matthias Ekholm, you say he's pretty good. You say he's come onto the scene. $3.75 million.
And they're all on the books for multiple of seasons.
Matthias Ekholm signed through 2020. Roman Josi through 2019. And who was the other one? Ryan Ellis through 2019. So that top four defense, which I think we all would say is the best in the league, it is locked and loaded. If you don't make those deals, if you don't jump on Ryan Ellis, maybe a little bit early. If you don't say, hey, remember, Matthias Ekholm, according to Barry Trotz, shouldn't have been in the NHL. They saw one season of him under Peter Laviolette and said, you know what? This is our guy.
Yeah.
And how impressive was it to see him transition before our eyes from kind of a fringe offensive guy, needed to be protected. He and P.K. Subban shut down everybody they faced in the playoffs. It was really impressive.
And then perhaps the riskiest contract of those was Roman Josi at the time that it was given to him.
Sure.
It was a 7-year, $28 million contract. And at that time, he had some concussion issues.
Yep.
You didn't know what he was really going to blossom into. And obviously he's blossomed into one of the best, I would say, 5-10 best defensemen in the National Hockey League.
No question. There's no question. That's, in my opinion, that's the best contract in the entire league.
Maybe.
Roman Josi's contract. I just think it's outstanding. So, David Poile, we talked about everything he's done before via trade and signing the right guys. Those contracts are probably right up there with the most important reason why the Predators
are. It's those little moves, and it all begins with all three of those guys were drafted by Nashville. So they already had the rights. They were able to see them develop. Credit to the scouts for even getting them. And they had the opportunity to go a little early. If you tried to get a Roman Josi on the open market, good luck. I mean, that guy's making $8, $9, $10 million. Yeah. You have to set yourself up even in that position in the first place. And then all to loop this back together, you're right. The number's not going to be low. It's going to be 5, 6, 7 in available cap space. But you only need one guy. You know, you're not trying to sign 2 to 3, 4 players to try and change this roster. You just need the one. So it's all crazy how it works together. And we're about to see it all start over again. I mean, the draft Friday and Saturday.
Yep.
We're right back into it. Preds hold the 30th overall pick in the first round and looks like they've maintained it through these expansion drafts, through the deadline, through all that. So that's where it starts.
And when you look at these cheap contracts for the great defensemen, the next 2 or 3 years is probably the window that you're looking at for the Preds to have this good of a roster before these big paydays come for the defensemen, and you have to keep paying the forwards that are improving. Like, if they go out and get TJ Oshie, that's going to be a risk past the 2 or 3 years because it's not like it's just an infinite amount of cap space.
Right.
You're going to have to pay Roman Josi more than $4 million after 3 years. You're going to have to pay Ryan Ellis more than $2.5 million after the next 2 years. While TJ Oshie, I think we would all agree that TJ Oshie would be a great addition for the Preds. For the next 2 years, I think would look great. After that, if he gets a little bit older, the contract costs upwards of $6.5 million. You could be looking at a contract that, you know, doesn't look as good as it did when you signed him.
There's no question. And like you guys said, I mean, there's going to come a time where Roman Josi and Ryan Ellis and Matthias Ekholm are going to make a lot of money. And it's going to be very difficult to keep all those players in Nashville, regardless of who they sign in free agency this year, next year, whatever the case may be. So that's something you have to keep in the back of your mind. And like we've talked about this several times now, that top four that they have is a weapon that no other team in the NHL has. And it's a valuable weapon, especially in the playoffs when it's all about matchups and making sure you're out there and can handle, especially in road games, those matchups that other teams are trying to get against you. That top four gives the Predators a weapon that nobody else has, and that's something they're going to have to be cognizant of, not only whether it's TJ Oshie this summer, but whatever contracts they end up signing over the course of the next few years. That has to be in the back of their minds. Okay, how does this affect Roman Josi, Ryan Ellis, Matthias Ekholm? What other moves do we have to make to offset the cost of the guy that we just brought in?
If you're just getting in your car or just tuning in and have not heard the news tonight, the Preds have lost James Neal in the expansion draft to the Vegas Golden Knights. One positive for the Preds is that David Poile has won GM of the Year. Certainly a well-deserved honor for him and all the work that he's done over the last 2 decades with the Nashville Predators. Back to the expansion draft, some other notable names selected tonight. There weren't a lot of them, but Jonathan Marchessault was probably the first big one off the board from the Florida Panthers. Scored 30 goals last year for the Panthers. Nice young player for them. And, you know, that could be a key piece for Vegas moving forward. And when you look at James Neal, probably the biggest forward off the board going to the Vegas Golden Knights. He is going to be their go-to guy when it comes to goal scoring. When you look at David Perron, another nice forward that they get from the St. Louis Blues, I think that is a key loss for the St. Louis Blues moving forward. Someone that they're going to have to replace on the second or third line. Mark Mathot, nice defenseman from Ottawa, going to Vegas. And perhaps the biggest name in the expansion draft tonight, Marc-Andre Fleury, goaltender of the Pittsburgh Penguins. No more. He is now a Golden Knight.
And this just in, Adam Vingan just tweeted this from the Tennessean. You're just taking a look at reports on Twitter. Looks like James Neal was invited to the draft tonight by Vegas, but is having surgery, so he's not going. He obviously was not at the expansion draft tonight, having surgery on his broken hand that he sustained in the playoffs with the Predators.
Another key player that we haven't mentioned yet from a division rival is Trevor Van Riemsdyk from Chicago. Nice, you know, second or third pair defenseman in the making for the Blackhawks that is also gone for nothing. So it's not like the Preds were the only ones tonight. Right.
Every team lost somebody.
Every team lost somebody, and there were probably a half dozen to a dozen teams that lost somebody who was valuable to them.
And let's not forget Marian Hossa for the loss
as
well.
I was just going to say that. I think that changes the wrinkle a little bit, but if you're the Hawks, you're sitting there going, please take Marcus Kruger, please take Marcus Kruger, because I mean, that's your fourth line center making $3.5 million. Don't forget, the Hawks are currently $2 million over the salary cap. They, of course, have to get underneath that before the season can start. So, yeah, they just lost a very serviceable 6th, 7th defenseman, and yet they're still sitting there with all their cap issues. As Robbie said, we'll wait and see what in the world happens with Marian Hossa and whether he can go on long-term injured reserve and they get cap relief or if they don't. But still, there are some competitors here that are trying to, especially if you're the Hawks, got blown out of the water in the playoffs. They're trying to make some big changes this summer, and they might not be able to purely because of salaries.
Right. Some roadblocks in the way for sure. When we come back, we'll get you updated on some of the awards that were given out tonight out in Las Vegas and wrap this puppy up on Predators Tonight. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Predators Tonight here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porth here alongside Robbie Stanley of NHL.com and Thomas Willis of NashvillePredators.com. Talking about the expansion draft, the Preds losing James Neal. We haven't really talked about the awards that went on tonight. And the, well, we have talked about how awful the NBC show was and how much of a gong show it was, but we'll kind of leave that to the side for now. Connor McDavid won the Hart Trophy for league MVP. I think that was expected. He had 147 first place votes. Sidney Crosby came in second in the Hart Trophy voting with 14. And Connor McDavid, guys, he might have a future in this league.
It's pretty good.
He's
probably the fastest player I've ever seen in my life.
He also won the Ted Lindsay Award for the best overall player in the National Hockey League.
And he's 20 years old.
Think about that. He can't legally drink yet.
In America. Yes. 20 years old.
Unreal. The Vezina Trophy for the best goalie went to Sergei Bobrovsky of the Columbus Blue Jackets. He won almost unanimously as well, as he had 25 first place votes as opposed to Braden Holtby's 4 first place votes. Braden Holtby was second in that voting. Bobrovsky was obviously a huge part of the Blue Jackets' resurgence this year. Other notable awards given out tonight, John Tortorella of the Blue Jackets won the Jack Adams Award for the best coach. Obviously, David Poile of the Nashville Predators getting the GM of the year. And another young stud up and coming, Austin Matthews, winning the Calder Trophy, also in a landslide. 164 first place votes. In second was Patrick Laine of Winnipeg with 3.
Yeah, I think we're very close to probably 3-4 years from now. The two best players in the game will be McDavid and Matthews. That's how good they are. They are both generational type of players.
And I kind of wish they were in the same division so we could have something similar to the Crosby-Ovechkin hyped up matchup. Even though Crosby and Ovechkin aren't always on the ice against each other at the same time, that does add drama to those Wednesday night rivalries that NBC puts on, these second round matchups that they've had in each of the last 2 years. I mean, we may never see McDavid and Matthews playing in a playoff series against each other.
But if we do, it'll be the Stanley Cup final.
Sportsnet would be all over that up in Canada.
Well, there's no question in 3 or 4 years the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Edmonton Oilers are going to be
powerhouse.
Incredible teams to watch. We'll see if the Winnipeg Jets can ever get it figured out around Patrick Laine. I feel like they do the same thing every single year. So maybe that's even more credit to Laine for what he was able to put together with not a lot of help around him. So, but yeah, I think if you look at the rookie pool, especially in Toronto, Mitch Marner, Nylander, Austin Matthews. I mean, it's incredible just to have that influx of talent in 1 year. They're going to be fun to watch for a while.
Not a bad coach either.
No.
Nope.
Absolutely. Brent Burns winning the Norris Trophy Award for Best Defenseman. This was one of the closer votes of the night. He had 96 first-place votes, and the total voting came up to 1437 in terms of points for him. A close second was Erik Karlsson, a guy who's won this award before. He had 1,292 points and 63 first-place votes. So Brent Burns or Chewbacca, as we saw at the All-Star game here in Nashville last year, winning the Norris Trophy. I think we expected that to happen. And that kind of rounds out the big awards from tonight. There were others involved, but they're not significant. So getting back to the expansion draft with the Predators losing James Neal to the Vegas Golden Knights, I was very curious to see how the expansion draft was going to go, because this is the first time we've had an expansion draft in the league in the social media / Twitter era.
Mm-hmm.
So all the talk ever since Game 6 happened and the Predators fell short of the Stanley Cup, instantly, the next day, the talk was about the expansion draft. And it did not stop on Twitter for the preceding, what was it, 8 days, eight, yep. 9 days before tonight with the expansion draft. And as we all expected, maybe not as much before the protected list came out, but especially after James Neal goes to the Vegas Golden Knights, we've been talking all night about how does this team replace James Neal? And earlier this hour, we threw out some trade options. Matt Duchene, a caller, weighed in and thought he may be one. We've talked about free agent options, but I think it all comes down to the in-house options. Guys like Kevin Fiala and Craig Smith stepping up to the forefront and replacing the goal scoring that James Neal is vacating now.
That's why you saw this decision made. Specifically, there was no question the Predators were protecting their top four defense and their first line, which brought the decision down between James Neal and Cale Yarncroke. With the potential that Mike Fisher retires as well, the decision was made they needed the youth, the contract. Cale Yarncroke is signed through the 2020 season for just $2 million. If he continues to hover around that 15-goal range and be your second-line center, I mean, that's as good a deal as you can get. So they looked at that. They saw James at the end of his time here in Nashville and that he only had 1 year left, $5 million. Who knows if he resigns next offseason. They make that decision, and then that just gives the opportunity for Pontus Aalborg, Frederick Gaudreau, Colton Sissons, all the guys we saw in the playoffs step up, especially after you lost to Johansson and Fiala. They just need to take a half step, a full step would be nice going into next season.
Yeah, and that's what it's going to come down to. You can go out and you can try to sign your free agents, and who knows whether or not the Predators will be successful in that area. But a lot of it's going to come down to what kind of a season is Kevin Fiala going to have next year. Can Colton Sissons build on what he did in the playoffs and translate that into next season as far as the regular season is concerned? And look, Cale Yarncroke's been a very nice player for the Predators over the course of the past couple of years. They got to have more offense out of him. If you lose James Neal, you have to have more offense out of Cale Yarncroke. There's just no way around it. 15 goals is not going to be good enough. You just have to get more offense. If he's going to be your second-line center, you have to have more than 30 points out of Cale Yarncroke. It's just as simple as that.
And you probably look at the points more than the goals from him.
Yeah.
If he's getting 15 goals and you're wanting more offense out of him, you're probably going to want him to get closer to 30 assists.
Yes.
And closer to that 45-point barrier.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
As opposed to hovering around 30. Thomas, you made the point of the contract, and I think that was as much of the decision as it was as the player. Because James Neal versus Cale Yarncroke, just straight up, player versus player, man versus man, I think everyone would take James Neal and the goal scoring that he provides.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's weighing whether you want Yarncroke for the next 5 years at $2 million per or James Neal for 1 year at $5 million per. I personally, when I kept thinking about the decision that David Poile was trying to make,
right,
that's what I kept coming back to, that Yarncroke at that contract was of such value that it was too hard not to protect him.
And this isn't something, of course, that they relish. I mean, you heard David Poile say, we lost a really good player in James Neal. In a perfect world, this doesn't happen. But, you know, the Predators and all the other 30 teams, well, 29 teams, I suppose, got a nice cut out of the profits with the $500 million buy-in when the Vegas Golden Knights became the 31st franchise. And a part of that necessary evil to receive that reward was for everyone to lose a player off their roster. And I think when they were forced to make that tough decision, they made two critical ones. First off, they said, we think James Neal is more likely to be another 20-goal scorer than he is the 30 or even 40-goal scorer we hypothetically were trading for back when Peter Laviolette first came in and when they sent Hornquist and Nick Spaulding to Pittsburgh for Neal. They said, okay, he's probably more like a 20-goal scorer And then secondarily, are we going to have him for years to come in the future? Probably not. Combine that with the fact that you can't lose another center. They put him up on the available list. They don't protect him. And then I think maybe this was even the tougher part. David Poile then did not bite on, we will probably never know what they were, all these potential deals that could have been made that we saw a lot of other teams make to keep James Neal and maybe have Vegas take someone else. I mean, you could have given up a first-round pick. We saw it. A first, a second-round pick, and the Blue Jackets still lost William Karlsson. Yeah, they got some salary relief with getting rid of David Clarkson, but you could have seen that. I think if you only think you've got one more year left of a 20-goal scorer, you're probably best to stand pat and just, you know, take your medicine and lose them.
So, I mean, let's remember, Vegas has three first-round picks now. They have 6th overall, 13th overall, and 15th overall. So that's what the asking price was going to be, somewhere around that area, and maybe a prospect in addition to that. So that's the decision you have to weigh.
Well, time has run up here on Predators tonight. Again, we congratulate David Poile on winning the GM of the year. And for Thomas Willis, my former 2003 YMCA basketball teammate.
What a squad.
Can I have a quick update on that?
Sure.
We did not lose a game in that season. Talk to Coach Wade.
Are you serious?
At dinner.
Okay.
Here's how it went. Into the final game of the season, we were undefeated. I'll be so brief. We went to overtime, went to double overtime. No winner was determined. We tied in our final game, but we were undefeated.
We tied?
We tied in our final game of the basketball
season. Bud Selig the commissioner?
Probably.
For Robbie Stanley of NHL.com.
Can't follow that.
Who happens to be my roommate. I'm Ryan Porth. Thanking you for listening to Predators Tonight. A whole lot going on tonight with the expansion draft and the awards. Thanks for listening. The next Predators Tonight will be Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. as Willie Donick and Jeremy K. Gover will be live in Chicago from the NHL entry draft. Make sure to tune in then on ESPN 102.5 The Game.